Body.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. Today is June 14th, 2014, and you're listening live with Adriana's Mystic Connections. I know she has a great show for you guys today and a wonderful guest. So without further ado, I give you your host, Adriana.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Happy June. I can't believe it's June. I don't know what happened. It seems like when I turned around, it was March, and now it's June. April and May just flew by. Today, I have David Zimmerman with us, and we'll be talking about the Great Lakes Retreat. For those of you who are avid listeners who have been with me for a while, you know all about the Great Lakes Retreat. And I'm so pleased to bring on David Zimmerman to talk with us today about the Great Lakes Retreat, because for me, he's one of the people that makes retreat what it is. He's a retired executive and from General Motors, I believe. And once he retired, he started spending his life in the pursuit of spiritual understanding. And without further ado, David, are you there?
Right here. Yeah, thank you.
Well, David, thank you so much. Now, will you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I just I'm just an average guy, I guess, born in Indiana, and I lived down there till I was about 30 years old, and then I moved to Michigan. Worked in the automotive industry, related to car design, and then did that for a few years up here, and then I went to General Motors, where I worked for 26 years, and then I retired. I'm a lifelong student of theosophy and the ageless wisdom teachings.
Now, you say lifelong student. You know what? I do want to talk about the Great Lakes Retreat, but I'd just like to focus on you just for a few minutes. You say lifelong student. How did that work when you were an executive? How was that at General Motors? I mean, did you feel like you needed to hide that part of yourself, or is that something that you felt brought more to your position?
I didn't expose it, you know, to everybody there. I had a few friends, very few that I talked to about it. But it was a part of my exoteric, my worldly existence that I had to work at General Motors. And then the esoteric side of it was, of course, the wisdom teachings and dealing in the esoteric and promoting the work of teachers like Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and Edgar Cayce. My own guru or teacher was Dr. Douglas Baker from London, England. And if you looked at my horoscope, it has Neptune in Libra or Libra in the first house, and that's automotive design, but it's also the mass distribution of esoteric books in the world. And that's what I'm doing. I'm promoting his work in the world and his teachings, which are in unison with other great teachers like Alice Bailey and Blavatsky and C.W. Leadbeater, the great theosophical clairvoyant. To some extent.
Now you're a sought-after teacher and lecturer, and the names that you're mentioning are so well known in the spiritualist community and in the philosophical communities, you know, that we're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say esoteric, I know I've had the pleasure of attending one of your classes and some of your lectures. And when you say esoteric, I know you're talking about hidden or secret knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my job is to help exteriorize or externalize the teachings, and that's what I do. I did it through many years, 30 years of supporting Dr. Baker in England, through the production of DVDs on various aspects of the ageless wisdom teachings like esoteric astrology, esoteric healing, esoteric psychology, which all evolve around the existence of the soul. Esoteric astrology is a soul-centered astrology. Esoteric psychology is a soul-centered psychology. And if the predictions of the great seers and mystics of the world are correct, and I believe they are, that the psychology of the new age and the new millennium will be based on the principles of what Alice Bailey wrote about and Douglas Baker amplified in greater detail in the subject called esoteric psychology, which involves a study of the seven rays, and these rays are qualities that permeate the universe, and we see them in effect in our solar system and on our planet Earth. Very important stuff. It's one of the important keys to the mystery, and in the future, guidance counselors at schools will take little children and they'll cast their horoscope and they'll know what that child is best suited for. They'll see their strengths and their weaknesses, and they will help them through the use of the astrology and the new psychology to put them more correctly on the path that their soul intends them to follow in this incarnation. Ultimately, of course, there is always a general soul's purpose, but there are also specific things that you do from each lifetime to lifetime that will amplify the effect of your existence, so you're able to get the optimum effect from each incarnation, which speeds up the entire process of a reunification with the divine.
Wow. So you're teaching, and I'm teaching, we're both teaching, at the Great Lakes Retreat. The Great Lakes Retreat is the largest retreat in the Midwest. And
it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. And it's been going on since, I think, the 1970s, I think.
Yeah, it's about 36, 37, 38 years, maybe. Might be very near 40 years now. Yeah, this is, 40 years ago, it would have been 1974, so it's around that time. I think it might have even been a little earlier than that. I think it was, originally, it was an offshoot or was called the, Pioneer something, Spiritual Frontiers, that was the name of it.
Mm.
Spiritual Frontiers Organization, which unfortunately may still exist in some small sense, but this was an offshoot of that, and it really is the best spiritual retreat of its kind.
It
in
really
Michigan
is.
And probably in the United States, in the Western Hemisphere even. And the thing that's amazing about it is that it's in my observation, it's getting better. And that means that when it gets better and it's growing, that it's being energized by spiritual forces. And I have, on occasion, I have felt the forces there.
And, completely agree. You know, you're exactly right. The spiritual forces, the messages seem clearer there. Healing seems deeper there because you've got the confluence and convergence of so many energies, spiritual energies in the physical sphere, and also there's so many spiritual energies coming back who were there, who come year after year, and even though they pass, now still come every year. Sometimes you can look out in the audience and you see the whole auditorium is filled with people who have been there in the past and also those who are there now. So
I've aroused some interest with some new people coming this year. It would be a wonderful thing if each of the speakers could arouse new people, interest in new people to come to it, because it really is a wonderful event, a lot of really interesting and very lovely people. Got good food in the cafeteria. It's kind of a fun college dormitory type existence. It's non-denominational, which I like a great deal.
Yes, but you don't have to worry about if you feel like you're in your own category, then this is the perfect place for you. If you feel like you align with traditional spiritualists, then this is also the perfect place for you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody's going to beat up on you because of what you think or believe. And that's a really, really an important thing. So many of these organizations are inflexible and non-malleable and closed-minded. You don't see any of that ever. I've never seen any of that at the Great Lakes Retreat. The people are totally open and receptive to what you say. They're appreciative, and they're just a really, really wonderful group of people.
Very warm and welcoming and very eclectic. You know, you've got Buddhists standing next to Catholics, standing next to Hindus, standing next to
American Indian, everything. It's all there.
Yeah.
Just about everything you could imagine is there. And that's the essence of the Aquarian Age, is an outpouring of teachings into the world, because people are dying for this stuff. They're looking for answers. You can't find anyone on the planet who isn't looking for purpose and meaning and understanding. I have a lot of people who consult me, want consultations for the guidance in their lives. And, of course, I always use the horoscope as a roadmap to help them understand what's happening in their lives and things they're showing them, their strengths and their weaknesses, where things are karmic, both short-term and long-term karma, whatever their questions may be.
And
it's such a valuable tool.
Let's take just a moment. How could someone reach you, David, if they did want a horse?
Well, they can reach me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. They can go to David A. Zimmerman at Comcast.net. So I'm at Comcast.net. It's not David Zimmerman. It's David A. Zimmerman at Comcast.net. They can call me on the telephone. My home phone number is 248-375-0909. I live in Rochester Hills,
Michigan.
And I've been in this house for 20 years. It's a spiritual center for outpost of Claregate College of England, which was founded by Dr. Baker. And it's a very spiritual place. And we give lectures here. I have a lecture room. Seats comfortably about 25 people, which is a nice group. I usually have the lecture, and then we have vegetarian potluck.
Oh.
And we sit around the dining room and the living room, and I put up extra chairs and tables. And we eat afterwards, and then people can leave whenever they like.
That sounds wonderful. Vegetarian potluck, that's right up my alley.
Yeah, quite nice.
Regarding the retreat, I know you're teaching and I'm teaching, and in just a minute let's talk a little bit about our classes. But, you know, I try to describe it. It's so hard to describe it, but it's a week away from the world, and it's Hogwarts for adults. It's the ability to tap into your own mystical, magical, intuitive self. It's an ability to cleanse, to release, to let go. Mm-hmm. There's meditation, there's healing, there's lectures from world-renowned experts like Mr. Zimmerman. And there's classes, and there's workshops, and you can come for a class, you can come for a day, or you can come for the whole week.
That's right. Yeah.
There's not a moment where there's not something to do. You're constantly busy. And
yeah, you interact with people, and it is truly a very pleasurable experience. Yeah,
it is. It's the soul experience. You know, we take care of our bodies, and we take care of our bodies by working and then getting money back in return, so we can feed our bodies and clothe our bodies and house our bodies, and we take care of our mind. You know, we play games, we talk about, you know, we take care of our mind by reading, but what do we do for our soul?
Well, that's the whole thing. That's why this retreat is so important. It gives people a multifaceted venue of speakers and exposure. The speakers that they can choose from, if they have a brochure, I'll be glad to mail out some brochures to people. I'm sure you have some, too, that you could send out. Or they could go to the website for Great Lakes Retreat, and they could check that out.
TheGreatLakesRetreat.org. And
right.
It's located in Michigan. It's in the southern area of Michigan, about, 30 miles south of Lansing.
Yeah, 20 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right off of I-69, Interstate 69. It's in the little town of Olivet, which is a very lovely setting. The little campus, it's a small college. I think it was a Baptist college. There's a number of them in Michigan. Kalamazoo College is another one that was Baptist, found around the same time. And it's they got beautiful big oak trees, and the buildings are lovely old kind of, some of them the library, Romanesque, kind of a mixture of Romanesque and Victorian architecture. Great place, really a great place, yeah. Nina had asked me, Castelluzzo had asked me for years to lecture there, and I was always reluctant, And finally, I said, "Okay, I'll go over and speak." I knew the minute I spoke on the stage there in the auditorium that I was where I was supposed to be, and that I had an important link to that organization, and whatever I could do to help energize it and elevate it and to be a part of it. And it really is, it's just really, really a nice setting.
It's an honor to be invited, and it's an honor mm-hmm. to be invited back. And
yeah,
so both you and I are returning. You've actually been there several times. And,
I have, yeah.
And are just, you know, sort of part of the fabric mm-hmm. of the retreat for me. And I know that you talk a lot about Douglas Baker, who is a very prolific writer. And
he wrote over 100 books, yeah.
Yeah. And it just amazing, opened up a lot, explained a lot of mysteries and taught so many people. If you were trying to encapsulate some of his teachings, what would you highlight?
Well, he gave so much. He, of course, His life's work was the third phase or the third outpouring of the energies of the spiritual hierarchy of the planet. It had been prophesized that the first outpouring would come at the end of the 19th century, which it did through Blavatsky, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the great Russian mystic. And seer. And then about 50 years later, it was an outpouring through an English mystic by the name of Alice A. Bailey, and to some extent, too, C.W. Leadbeater. And then the third outpouring was, of course, Douglas Baker, where he amplified the work of Blavatsky and Bailey in preparation for the birthing of the Aquarian Age, which is upon us now. And his works fall into a number of categories. One, of course, is the esoteric astrology. The other is esoteric psychology, which we use in unison. The students who are trained by him. Also, esoteric healing. He's a medical doctor. He was a heart surgeon. And then his final phase.
That's so powerful that he was a heart surgeon, and so immersed in the medical community of cut it, take it out, do something to it, and fix it. And yet he understood on the spiritual level how
exactly
much healing actually occurs.
You couldn't find a better doctor. He was constantly teaching and healing. Every day of his life, he was teaching and healing. He even did it as a child. He was healing. And his life story is just staggering. It's two books. One is War, Wine, and Valor. And then his... that was his kind of his adult life in the war years, and then his youth and early development is another book called Cannon Fodder, and he gives wonderful insights into his life and the things that affected him and how he grew into the human being he was. But what I wanted to tell you was the last phase of his life, he wrote 14,000 essays on quantum physics.
Oh, wow.
Probably his greatest outpouring was the 3-volume dictionary on esoteric astrology, where he actually took the 500,000 words of the Oxford Dictionary. It took him 7 years to do it. He did it 3 times, so he triple-checked everything. He didn't sleep for 7 years. He had what's called continuity of consciousness, where you're, even when you're asleep, you're aware, you're conscious. And he would go into the higher planes, and he would take the words in alphabetical sequence, 500,000 words, and he would apply an astrological aspect to each word so that you can parse, it's called parsing, take the aspects and write a sentence. And everybody's, and that's what I do, you know, when I have an accurate chart. I don't trust every horoscope that people bring to me. It's just a lot of inaccuracy out there. This astrology, as Baker always said, and it really is true, it's the highest manas, meaning highest mental plane information that is available to mankind at this time. And it will replace the mundane astrology used by the masses of teachers in the world.
There are, I agree with you regarding the inaccuracies. And it's like there's several different schools out there, and there's some people doing horoscopes, just like some people doing everything, who maybe haven't studied as much as they could and are going out maybe what they learned even though they studied, is not, true. And you have to be really careful because I know that I've had my horoscope read by different people, and honestly, they say different things. Some things come through that are similar, but it's amazing.
Well, in esoteric astrology, there's different planetary rulership. There's only like maybe two planets that have the same rulership as they do in mundane astrology. Mundane astrology is what the majority practice. I practice esoteric astrology. In mundane astrology, they don't even account for the earth. How could you have a science in astrology where you live on the earth and you don't consider that as a factor in the horoscope? It's just preposterous beyond belief, but yet that's what it is, you know?
So if you would like to have an esoteric horoscope reading with David Zimmerman, David, how can they contact you again?
They would have to email me with their information. I don't do this for free. I've done a lot of them for years for free, and I'm being inundated. I charge a fee. And they can write for information about it. I'll have their chart printed. Joe, who was Dr. Baker's assistant in England for 40 years, he prints them out and sends them to me. He just prints the chart. And then I analyze the chart. If they have specific questions, hopefully not, you know, when they're getting married again or whatever, but real spiritual questions, I'll look into it for them and try to help them and guide them.
So you're choosy about whose chart you read?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm choosy. I'm thorough, and I don't want people who come to me because they're boyfriend broke up with them or whatever, they want to get married and they're looking for a wife or a husband. A lot of times people will ask questions they think that are important to them, but they're not questions that are necessarily important to the soul.
I completely understand what you're saying.
They
because,
ask questions at the personality level and not the soul level.
Mm-hmm, which is agreed, you know, and the personality level, that's where a lot of our anxiety is about
sure it
things.
Is. It's astral. It's astral and emotional. Astral means emotional. It's lower mental, lower manas. I had a lady who is completely self-consumed. She calls me on a fairly regular basis with anticipating things that aren't even relevant. And so I said to her one day, I said, what you need to do is you need to get your mind off yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that you could do that is you could go down to the local hospital and see if you could volunteer on a children's cancer ward.
Yeah.
And go in there where little children are dying of leukemia and cancer. And get yourself grounded into the world of the and see what the world is really like, you know.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because I so agree with you, and I give the same advice. And one day I was consumed, as you were saying, and I was just thinking, well, you know, this is so upsetting to me, and I'm so worried about things. And I thought, okay, what advice would I give myself? And I heard, you know, go volunteer. So every week I go assist in an animal shelter, and I go pick up poop, and I scrub the floors, and I change the litter pans, and I interact with these animals who are so grateful to see me, who are so grateful to be touched or noticed or held or played with. And I come out of there knowing that every week I'm doing something very concrete that's good for another living creature.
Helping the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it restores you. When you are always the person receiving, then you're blessed, but you get used to receiving. And we are meant to also be the person giving. And blessed is the person who has all these blessings, but even more blessed is the person who is a blessing to others.
Yeah, when you went to England, to Baker's School in England, you know, you were there to help out. You might have to wash dishes for 2 or 3 days, or help cook the meals, or clean the buildings, and you had to do things. You weren't there to be lay around. And you know, you get so many of these groups that they all want to sit by the guru in their robes and pretend like they're more pious and spiritual than everybody else. And, of course, those groups always collapse and fall apart because
the most spiritual
wants to do any work. Yeah.
The most spiritual thing you can do is, you know, put on an apron, go in the kitchen and do some dishes.
Hard work. I always did. Yeah. When you went to Mahatma Gandhi's ashram in India, one of the most spiritual and important avatars of the last 2,000 years, Mahatma Gandhi, who through nonviolence brought democracy to India.
Yeah.
People would come from the city, wealthy people, and they were given the assignments of cleaning the latrines.
Uh-huh, milking the goats.
And that's what you do. These young kids that I meet a lot of, they have these preconceived ideas that they'll all just sit around and in some bliss state will magically happen, and that they'll sit in the aura of this great teacher, and then they'll soak it all, which is all Piscean age thinking, which is no longer true. It's no longer about individual spiritual growth and development, it's the group.
Now we're in the Aquarian age, so we have to think
about...
We are definitely in
the Aquarian age.
We have to think about the group. You know, our time is up. It went so fast. Would you like to
stay
with me for personal readings, or would you would you like to leave? If thank you so much for joining me. If you'd like to stay, it'd be wonderful. But if you don't, I completely.
I can stay for a little bit. Yeah, I've got some commitments, but I think we should tell them that the retreat is from July 20th to July 25th at Olivet College.
Absolutely. So this July, and if you contact David or I directly for the retreat, we may be able to even give you a little discount.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do yourself a favor. Give your soul a beautiful gift of a day or even a week at the largest, longest-running spiritual retreat in the Midwest, thegreatlakesretreat.org. Okay, well, we're ready for some callers.
Okay, Adriana, I hope you're doing well today.
We have
Jackie from New Jersey. Hi, Jackie, and what is your question?
Hi. I came on the show late, so I didn't hear everything. But I am interested in tapping into my soul because I don't have an accurate chart because I don't know my time of birth. I was born in England. And unfortunately, both my parents have passed on. But I know I have some soul issues that I'm wrestling with.
So, David, what would you... Oh, and you know what? I always ask callers to answer a question.
Okay.
And I didn't pose the question. So I think the question I'm going to ask is, why do you think a retreat away from the world every once in a while is so important?
Well, I'm constantly tapped into the world. I work in the general public with kids and the at-risk youth. I'm constantly dealing with people all day. So the world drains me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if anything, I want to tap out to go internal.
Yeah, just
because I think I know I've given too much of myself to everyone that I don't even really know the true me.
On a level that you're not getting anything back on that level. And so you need to be in an area where you're giving and getting back. But, David, how would you suggest she handles not knowing exactly when she was born?
Well, you can do a general chart, a solar chart, and you do know the sign under which you were born. You know the day and date and place, but you don't know the time specifically.
Correct.
You may have a general idea of the time or not.
No, I really don't. I
did a horoscope on Obama that was because years ago there was a controversy about where he was born. So we did a solar chart. Baker did in England, and I was involved in it in a minor way. But the solar chart proved to be extraordinarily accurate for him. Carl Jung says that when anything is created in the world, it carries with it the energies of that moment in time when it was created. And that is true of human beings when they're born into the world. The emphasis in esoteric astrology is the constellation that is on the horizon at the moment of your birth and not your sun sign.
Okay.
It would
and that's
be
what
wonderful
they call the rising sign?
The rising sign, the
okay.
ascendant, it is the instrument that points the direction to the soul's purpose in this lifetime. We don't have that for you because we don't know your specific time of birth, but we could do a solar chart, and you know your sign that you were
yes.
born under, whether it's Scorpio
yes,
or Leo or whatever it is. And that gives us a great deal of information in and of itself, but the best we could do would be a solar chart. We did that with Alice Bailey, one of the great mystics, certainly of the 20th century, really of the last 2,000 years, and it proves to be a workable thing. It doesn't give you all the detail that you would like to have.
I have played with it and try to tweak it at different intervals during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's that the absence of the exact time, you know, I've always, you know, wondered how accurate, how closely accurate can be. There's some tendencies that run very common threads, rather,
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
I see with
yeah.
the different intervals
mm-hmm.
in time.
A lot of times I can talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell me, if they give me details in their lives,
mm-hmm.
I can begin in my mind to establish a horoscope.
Is there anything that you could tell me?
What's your sign that you're born under?
I'm a Capricorn. I was born January 5th.
Capricorn. Capricorn is the sign of initiation. And oftentimes Capricornian people, their life is a struggle. But the spiritual life is a struggle. You don't get something for nothing in the spiritual world, and the truth is you don't get something for nothing in this world either, unless you're a thief.
Mm-hmm. And then there's payback.
Right, and then
karma.
There's karma. And also the esoteric ruler of Capricorn is Saturn, which is long-term karma.
But I think Capricorn, I'm dealing with karma, I don't know if it's my karma. Because I always feel like it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
The karmatic events in my life, or the events that feel like karma, or those pivotal things in my life, I always feel like it's some major injustice being done. So I don't know if, you know, it's that one thing that I could have learned from my mother, and I was close with my mother, I did not learn, and I had no idea just how valuable it is. I have one of the longest birth certificates I've ever seen because I was born in England. And the birth certificates are like 18 inches long by 9 inches.
Yeah, that's the way mine
inches.
Was. Yeah, well, I was born here, but back then they had a very different type of a birth certificate. I know what you're saying.
Right, but no time of birth. I hear that
it's
a long
one.
Well,
you would have that would be recorded in England, though.
Right. I would assume that they would have it accurately because they usually have a lot of archival information.
Yeah. What town were you born in?
I was born in Dulwich.
And you know what? We need to move on. So this is fascinating, though. And so just very quickly, David, what would you suggest she do to...
You have to get in contact with me, and I'll see if I can get you a birth time in England, because I have people in England that may be able to help me do that.
I would really appreciate that.
Right.
Well, do you have my phone number?
No, I do not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something missing very...
Yeah,
there's something major missing that I don't know, all because of that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's 248-375-0909.
248-375-0909.
0909. Yeah.
I missed that last two digits. I'm sorry.
0909.
Okay, thank you.
You know, on a numerological level, you know, 0909, that's very interesting, those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the mirror mm-hmm. and endings, and then, of course, the absolute nothing, which is, of course, the birth of everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so who do we have? And do we have who do we have next? And then do we have any questions from the chat room?
No questions from the chat room, but your next caller is Diane, and she is from California.
Hello,
hi,
Diane.
Well, hello. What a great guest David is. I'm so enjoying this show. I studied astrology for years, my own chart. And I know when I was born, I have Cancer at 29 degrees. And my sun is Taurus and my moon is Scorpio. So I'm constantly, that pull between Taurus and Scorpio is not as healthy as I guess.
What's your ascendant again?
Cancer. 29, yeah. Though. So I'm thinking.
And you were born, your sun is Scorpio.
No, my moon is Scorpio, my sun is Taurus.
Okay. Okay, Taurus, yeah. Yeah, Taurus is the bull and the constellation of the bull. And, of course, the bull has a powerful neck. And a lot of times people who are Taurian, they have what Winston Churchill, he referred to people who were pretty strong and pretty tough, hardy people as having a neck. You had to have a neck, and you had to be able to withstand the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as Shakespeare said in his writings, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. There is also the bull in the china shop, and people who are very bullheaded, these connotations apply to Taurian qualities. The esoteric ruler of Taurus is Vulcan in esoteric astrology, which I recommend you look into through the work of Douglas Baker. In fact, you can go to douglasbaker.com or douglasbaker.org, and you can pick up the website and see what's offered there. It is absolutely extraordinary, I guarantee you. There's a lot of information on the astrology. You can download some lectures. Some of them you have to pay for, some are free. You can see the extent of his life's work, which does not pale in comparison to Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and Leadbeater and other great esoteric or theosophical teachers by any stretch of the imagination. But I would recommend esoteric astrology because the rulership is different, and it's, I believe, I have found, it's no doubt in my mind, it's a more accurate astrology. It's more complete and more encompassing than mundane astrology.
It would be well worth
your effort.
What percentage do you think is accurate of astrology? Because it's, I mean, nothing is 100%.
Mm-hmm.
In life. So would you
mm-hmm.
say it's 90%, 80%? Do you have an insight on what you feel on that?
I would say with a properly trained student, with Douglas Baker, it was 100%.
You're kidding. I didn't know anything was 100% of the human race. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, really amazing.
I just did a horoscope. Let me tell you what I did. I did a horoscope for a woman. It did hers and her husband. I did her husband's horoscope, and I simply parsed the aspects that were in the horoscope. It was 100% accurate. I can't guarantee you that if I were to do yours, it would be 100% accurate, but his was very blatant, and there were things that were hidden in his horoscope that later came to be proven to be true. We would take, in England, students who would come into the school or the ashram in England, and if they had a difficult karma, which might even include violent death at a young age, we didn't tell them that. You don't tell people those kinds of things.
No, it's funny because in my world of intuitive readings, when we see something come up, we do try to say, you know, be careful.
Oh, yeah, we do that, too.
Buckle your seatbelt.
Right.
You know, so because it can be changed. The future's not set. It can be changed.
Yeah, and you can neutralize your karma through good deeds and through doing things for mankind. Yeah.
The Lords of the Akashic Records are always keeping tallies on what you're doing and how well you're doing. Lords of Karma, yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Diane. That was great. Thank you for calling in.
Sure. Nice show. Thank you, Adriana. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. And who do we have next?
We have Jill from Illinois.
Okay. And Jill, before we get started, why do you think it's so important to have some type of spiritual retreat? Why do you think that's good for the soul?
I just think, you know, we get caught up in society and you're supposed to do this and think like that and be like this. And everybody's, especially in the Midwest, it's all about materialism and everybody thinks you're supposed to be like them.
And so to get away and to just concentrate more on soul level growth.
Exactly.
And also just to recharge on a soul level.
Exactly.
It's so important.
Connected.
Yeah, get connected, you know. Get in closer touch with your guides and your angels and get an esoteric horoscope reading so you know where you're going forward. So what's your question for David and I?
I'm worried about finances. Does he see anything coming through?
Well, you'd have to look in your second house of your horoscope. I have an unusual thing in my horoscope. I've always had money and I've always been lucky. But it hasn't fully manifested itself yet. Some people might be born with money and then lose it. Some people will have it throughout their lives. It depends if there's karma involved in it. Oftentimes there is. You have to remember that the most spiritual people that we know had no money. Jesus had no money.
Jesus had, Yeshua had money and he gave it away.
That's right. A lot of great saints do that.
Teresa walked away from money.
Right. I was a friend of John Coates, who was the international president of the Theosophical Society 40 years ago. He was a billionaire. His family owned the Coates and Clark Thread Company. They manufactured and sold sewing thread all over the world. They had at one time almost a virtual monopoly on it. He walked away from it. So did
Robbins, Baskin and Robbins, the son. He walked away from it too.
Sure. Sometimes a little hardship in life is good for the soul. And one of the most common ways to experience that hardship is through the lack of money. It doesn't mean that you can't have an abundance of it in the future, but you'd have to look at the horoscope to see exactly what's going on in the second house and possibly even the eighth house. People can acquire wealth through marriage or through inheritance. I hold the winning ticket in the lottery. I haven't won it yet, but maybe someday I will. I'll try to use it for spiritual purposes, but I have Jupiter in Scorpio in the second. Jupiter is big, vast, huge, and Scorpio is instantaneous and out of the dark, unexpected. So big money from some instantaneous thing that happens.
Can you give us your month of birth and your year? And we're David's not able to read your chart with just those things. He would need more information.
My birthday is 12/17/1960.
Ah.
12/17/1960.
So another
yes.
Capricorn. No, I'm sorry. No, you're not a Capricorn.
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius.
Yeah. Yeah, we need your place of birth and the date.
Waukegan, Illinois.
Waukegan.
That's Waukegan.
And my guides are telling me that for some reason right now, the money coming in is fixed. That the amount of money coming in right now for you is set. So that may change in the future. That's just right now. So they're asking you to spend wisely, be very thrifty, and to put a little bit of money away. And I know that's hard, but you have to put a little bit of money away for yourself so that it will accumulate for you, because right now, it's like you're scattering seeds into dust. you're scattering seeds into dust. So there's no accumulation going that can give you a little bit of relief going forward. They want you to invest just a little bit or save just a little bit somehow. And they're saying that you're a very generous person. And so you need to be generous wisely. You need to be, I know you want to help, but you have to, right now you need to be tithing to yourself.
Do you need my birth time? I have my birth time.
And
I
that's
do.
Not something we can do in this quick
yeah, I can't do
moment
it.
On the show. We can't do it right. that fast. But you can contact David Zimmerman, and he can give you a complete workup.
Did you see anything in my chart, David?
I don't have your chart.
Oh.
Yeah, you just gave him, you know, information.
Your birth date. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what my guides are telling you in the short term is that you have to be very thrifty because you're not seeing a large income just piling on you.
Okay.
So you need to be thrifty. There's money coming in, and there's more money coming in, but they're asking you to tithe to yourself first, and
okay.
that's what you're not doing, or you're not doing enough of. You need to tithe to yourself first.
Okay. Thank
All right.
you.
You're welcome, and if you'd like to contact David for and since you're lucky, you know your birth time, for a complete chart, he's given his phone number out, and he's available on Facebook. And you can also click on the link for this show, and you should see his information, too. There should be a short bio and links for connecting with him. Thank you so much. And you know what? I just realized I haven't given out any of my information. So if you'd like to reach out to me for reading or healing or for information about the Right Ways Retreat, go to mysticconnections.com. And you can reach me there. And I think we're getting pretty close to the end of our time. So, David, I want to thank you so much. It's been such
hey,
an Adriana, interesting
thank you,
hour.
Dear, for having me. Yeah, maybe we can do it again another time.
I would love that. And I
Let
can,
me know.
Yeah. You're obviously already an audience favorite. Thank you so much for the wisdom. For
Thanks
just
for
the last
me.
3 minutes, would you mind just describing the class that you'll be teaching at the retreat?
Yeah, it's a class on the Ageless Wisdom Teachings. It's PowerPoint. I had a brochure here somewhere. I was going to look through it. I have to get the lecture titles. But there are things like the true authorship of the Shakespearean plays is one of them. I gave it the other year, and it was a huge success, and the people loved it. And I've got some new information. One of the things I'm going to talk about specifically in relation to that is a separate lecture is the esoteric significance of Shakespeare's probably most famous play, which is the Midsummer Night's Dream. I'm going to talk about Dante's Inferno and the Seven Planes of Human Consciousness, Geoarchaeology and the Lost Atlantis. Yeah, so we got a lot of
Speaking
stuff.
Speaking my language.
Angels past and present. So it's quite a lot of information. And I have a very sweet lady in Seattle, Washington, who's does my PowerPoint presentations. And I know right now as we speak, she's working very feverishly on putting those together. You've seen the PowerPoints I use, so.
Yes,
and
I am
effective.
Looking forward to your lectures so much, and I'm looking forward to your class. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Go out and do some for somebody else. Go out and be a blessing to someone. That's a way of tithing, being a blessing to someone. Thank you all.